Hello, hello, everyone. Come in and say hi. Let me know you can hear me. And raise your hand for some coaching. Let's do this. It's Saturday. Saturday the 13th. Okay. Y'all are coming in. 24. Y'all let me know where you're from just for shits and giggles. That'd be fun. We're all we're reaching out to. But raise your hand if you want coaching. From Ohio. Love it. Ooh, now there's a bunch in the chat. Massachusetts, Oregon, Minnesota, Michigan, New York, Texas. I mean, like, ooh, Canada. Jeanette, my parents just drove into Canada. Oh, my gosh. They have, like, a different little raise your hand symbol. I did a Zoom update. So, but, yeah, Jeanette, my parents, they've been in, like, Niagara Falls area for a wedding, and now they're driving up into Toronto area. So I'm excited for them. Oh, good. Okay, we got a little line going. Ivy, Tracy, and Joy. Y'all are up first. Okay, Ivy's up first. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, can you see me?
No, let me ask you. I think I've got some setting on my computer where I have to ask you to start your video. There you go.
Does that work?
Yes.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. You're always sitting on the floor when you get coached.
I'm trying to hide in a quiet place away from my family.
Nothing wrong with that.
Distraction. Yeah. Sorry.
No, no problem. No apologies necessary. What's up?
Thank you. I have been wanting a coaching call for so long, and then I feel like I get my act together and then I'm fine. And then I'm desperate again. I really need a coaching call. So I go back and forth and I tell myself, I really, really want to get on a coaching call with you this Saturday if I can, no matter how I feel. So, of course, now I'm feeling a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Of course. That's what you're with the doctor, right? Like you make a doctor's appointment and you immediately feel better. Yeah.
Right.
So why do you feel better, though? Like what are you thinking? If that's what it
I'm
is.
I'm thinking, right? I've got this.
You got
I'm
this.
I'm thinking I've got this. I've got new accountability and I think it's going to really help.
Okay. But still,
I have a pattern.
Accountability, and, you know, that's even another kind of circumstance. Like, you've got an accountability partner now, right? So that's a circumstance. So what are you thinking about that accountability partner that's helping you?
I think it'll help me to finally lose the weight and get to goal.
How so?
Because I have been trying to be accountable to myself. I do much better with external accountability. And this girl is not in PNP. And she ran into me. We used to work together and we ran into each other in a meeting. And she looked at me and she was like, "What happened to you?" Because I had lost 50 pounds and she hadn't seen me. And she's like, "Whatever you're doing, tell me all about it." And so she kind of latched onto me and she's like, "Tell me everything." And told her about, you know, Brooke and PNP, and she listens now to Brooke. She's not in PNP, but we kind of became reconnected, became friends, and we've been accountability partners. I kind of teach her some of the stuff about, you know, thought work, but she's lost 80 pounds and she's doing really, really well. And, she's trying to lose the last few pounds. I'm trying to lose the last few pounds. We are just been struggling, just gaining and losing the same few pounds. So we've tried different things and been accountability partners to each other. We're still struggling. And her latest thing is, okay, we're going to write down our food plan every single day and text it to each other and tell each other, you know, how we did, which is what I'm doing already. And PNP have been doing, I've been writing down my food now for years and years and years. I log my food every single day, but I just started doing the 24-hour plan less than a year ago. And I am like 100%. Maybe 99%. So maybe I'll miss like one day every few months, but I'm really good about writing a plan. But but sticking to it is a different thing. And so we started doing, so she started doing this with me. And so we were only like a few days in, but I have this new thought that, okay, with external accountability, it's going to go better.
So, but you know how it goes better.
It's my own thinking.
It's your, always your thinking.
It's always my thinking. Yes.
So just be aware of that. Like, there's nothing wrong with having an accountability partner, right? But like, you know, you're not always going to have an accountability partner, and she might be out of town, you know, for a while, you know, one day or something like that, right? And so it's like, okay, what am I thinking about having an accountability partner, doing my, you know, sending my plans to her and all these actions? You know, that's really, I mean, you kind of got two models here. Like, you've got, you know, your actions up in the C-line, like, I'm doing all this now. I have a partner and we decided we're doing all this stuff. And so, like, how do you want to, you know, how do you think about that? That you, what's a thought that's helping you there that you could even use if you don't, you know, have anyone else, but you just have yourself? Because you don't want to depend on weight loss. I mean, you're close to your goal weight and then you're maintaining. You don't necessarily want to have an accountability partner for the rest of your life.
Right.
So it's, and it's not the accountability partner that's causing you to, you know, to lose weight and be accountable and be consistent and all that, right? It's still your thoughts.
Right. My thought is, because my whole thing is binging, and you coached me in the past about binging as well. I do really, really well. I feel when I'm on plan and I'm following my plan and I work out and I feel fantastic. I feel like I can do this forever. This is totally easy. And then life happens and then I have a binge and I'll have maybe a binge for like an hour, or sometimes it'll be days or weeks. It hasn't been weeks anymore. I think I'm getting better. I think I told you this last time, I don't binge as often. And they're shorter. But my thing with the accountability, my thought is I am too embarrassed to tell her, like, write down the food. Like, if I have a binge, because we just started this a few days ago, like, I don't want to start a binge because I don't want to have to report it to her. Like, I'm too embarrassed. That's my thought, I think.
So that leads you to think, okay, why, you know, why are you embarrassed? Let's see that.
Because, so she has really, really, so I lost most of my weight, with Brooke in 2017 through SCS. Mm-hmm. And then, in 2018, kind of, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with SCS or not,
yes,
but she, you know, she has you do your, like, your big goal for the year. And then in 2018, she was like, new goal. And then, I only did it for 14 months and then started my new goal. And then life happened. I quit SCS and got several medical diagnoses and struggled in 2018. I joined PNP in May of 2018. And I have just been back and forth, like 25 pounds up, 10 pounds down, 15 pounds up, 5 pounds down. Just really.
But why are binges embarrassing? That was my question.
Thank you. Because they're so huge, because it's, I'm a dessert girl. And so, like, I'll eat so much. I'm no sugar and no flour, except for an exception. And, like, I'm embarrassed to tell someone else, like, the amount of food, the type of food that I eat.
Because you're still seeing them as bad.
As bad. Yes.
You're judging.
I have a really hard time with that.
I mean, we've coached on this a couple of times, I think, at least. And yeah, it's like, if you saw binges as totally neutral, you would have no issue with telling her. You would just be like, okay, this is what happened today. This is, you know, I did a recovery worksheet. This is what I learned, you know, you know, and move on. It's like seeing as neutral, but then wanting to do something different and that being okay. All of it is okay. Because if you are living in fear of embarrassment or shame of these binges,
you know, and I mean, right there with you, right? I'm right there with you in terms of I've been through this. And sometimes I still go there. But it's not, the solution is not to live in fear of having to report a binge to someone else.
Right. No, as soon as I said that, I heard that myself say it. And I was like, oh, that's not going to work long term.
Yeah.
I've gone through like every single binge video more than once. I wrote notes on all of them. I went through the urges and buffering calls and videos multiple times, wrote notes on them. I have an entire workbook dedicated to all my thoughts that I want to think about it. And I reread it. I write notes on it. I do thought downloads every single day.
So what? So you're doing all this stuff.
Yes.
What's it going to take? Or what do you want in your result line?
In my result line, I want to get to goal. I want to maintain my goal weight easily and effortlessly and enjoy my life. I really feel like I'm almost there. Like I love.
But what about binges? What about binges?
I don't want to have any more binges.
You don't. You want them to end. You want them to.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've watched it, but there is a video that Corinne did just a few weeks ago. What if binges don't have to end?
Right.
And that is where you are. You have to be okay with them happening. With them still happening, because here's another opportunity for me to see this as a neutral thing.
Yeah. My brain is so stuck on that binges are bad and eating too much unhealthy food is bad. Like no matter how many times I write it or I tell myself the opposite, it's like my brain doesn't believe it.
I go back to my father-in-law. We were eating, I told this story the other day, but we were eating, I think it was Mexican food or something. I think it was Cinco de Mayo. And we went over to their house and they made all this Mexican food. And he, like at the end of the meal, he was like, oh, I ate too much. You know, like, I'm just, you know, that was it. You know, and then he went on, right? He just went on and maybe like fell asleep in his recliner, and, you know, just moved on, right?
Yeah.
That is like normal eating. That is normal people. Normal people overeat every once in a while.
Yeah.
Normal people even, you know, get stressed and get, you know, something happens and life happens, like you say, and they don't want to feel all that stuff. And so they eat instead. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And so you know, say, okay, well, maybe the next time something like this happens, what if I didn't eat? But it's still not because I'm a horrible person and it's a bad thing and it should never happen ever again. Because like I said, I've been there where it's just like, okay, the month of fill in the blank, no binges. Even for Gift of Fat Month. And, you know, I did this post yesterday where I'm like, okay, I'm beginning today, you know, and my brain immediately wants to go to perfection for the next 3 weeks. Okay, let's do it. You know? And it's like, no. And I've tried that and it, you know, there may be a binge in there. There may be it, but the key is practicing, you know, seeing, I mean, and ultimately what we're talking about here is self-love versus self-loathing. If you see binges as bad, you see yourself as bad.
Right. And
you see yourself as a horrible person. When you're only making a choice to eat these foods. And that's why on the recovery worksheet, the first thing we have you do is list out all those foods so that you can just see it in black and white, see it, you know, practicing. All this is a practice, right? Seeing it as totally like objective choices. And, you know, it is a practice and it's a lifelong practice, but it ultimately comes back to loving yourself no matter what choices you make.
Yeah. Did you hear Brooke's last podcast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I heard, Corinne did. Her weekend motivator. I think it just got up on Facebook. We were having trouble getting it up on Facebook, but yeah. And that's kind of where my mindset is this morning, because I heard it, I listened to it at the gym this morning, and it's just like,
yeah,
you know, it's, we can do all this stuff, y'all. This is for everybody. You know, we can listen to everything and we can do a plan every day. But when we, if we can't, if we hate ourselves every time we make a mistake,
mm-hmm.
it's just, this just ain't going to happen for us long term. Mm-hmm. Until we can practice seeing that it's, you know, one of the most powerful things I learned was just like choices. There's no bad or good or bad choices. There's no good or bad foods. There's just choices.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, we make choices. And, you know, it's, I was doing the future self letter for the gift of fat yesterday morning, you know, when I decided to start it. And it was from my future self. And I wrote in there, it just gives me chills, because it's like, I wrote in there, I love you so much, you know, like from my future self. And like, I don't know that I've ever written that down. I don't know that I've ever, you know, I've practiced telling myself I love myself in the mirror, and I have little sticky notes and things like that, but writing it down and seeing it and writing like that, that was powerful for me. So I just think, you know, the most valuable, of the bonus courses, the most valuable bonus course we have is the self-love. I mean,
yeah,
we could, y'all could practice doing those journal prompts over and over and over again, because, you know, we always have to remind ourselves to love ourselves all the time.
Yeah. That whole concept, just listening to it this week, really resonated with me. I do all my recovery worksheets, and then I write notes on my recovery worksheets, and I review my recovery worksheets. I feel like I'm doing all the things, and I'm just repeating the same mistakes again and again. And it's, my brain wants to be punitive when I, you know, when I have to do a recovery worksheet. It's like, what do you say to yourself? Like when you've had an overeat, like yesterday, I had one bite of ice cream and one bite of cobbler. We have tons of plums that came from this plum tree in our backyard, and my mom made this giant cobbler, and it was not on my plan. My mom brought it over, and everyone was having the dessert, and I was like scooping it out for everybody, and I had one bite of each. Did a recovery worksheet, and I'm just mad and irritated with myself that I keep doing these stupid recovery worksheets. Not that they're stupid.
Well, that's your problem. Like, you're mad and irritated, and you're calling them stupid.
Yeah.
And that,
well, I'm mad at myself.
Always comes at me, but that, what you ultimately mean is that you are stupid for making the choice that you did.
Yes.
And that this recovery worksheet is a punishment. Don't you ever tell Corinne that recovery worksheet is a punishment, because she is like, you're bastardizing my tools. I've heard her say that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, it is a gift. It is a learning tool. It is, you know, a gift to you. I mean, it is the opposite of a punishment.
Yeah.
It is a reward. Like, okay, I did this. Now I'm going to learn from it.
Yeah. That's what I try and look at, is this is a learning opportunity. Yeah. And when I have like records of everything, it'll help me.
But are you saying, but here's the thing, are you saying like, oh, this is a learning opportunity, I guess?
No. Okay. No, I'm actually not. No, okay. I'm actually not, because I'm a total data girl. So I have like everything written down, and I so appreciate myself for having all that data and taking the time to write it down.
What if overeating and doing a recovery worksheet was even more valuable than just following your plan every day? You know, sometimes it is.
What?
I totally see it as that way.
Right? My brain just, what? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Ponder that.
Okay.
And it totally is sometimes. A lot of times.
I feel like I'm just spinning my wheel sometimes. I'm redoing the same things again and again and again. And then on the other hand,
time is shake it up.
Yeah. I feel like I think it's just my baby steps are so small. when I look back over my journey, like I see how much I've changed. Like I don't, until I look back and I remember how I was before, I don't realize.
Think of like the big changes. Think of literally baby steps, right?
Yeah.
See those, like when a baby is walking, my niece just is just, you know, learn to walk. And it's like, how, I mean, we call them baby steps, not because they're small like a baby, right? I mean, they're big. Every single step they take is a, I mean, I love, you know, the metaphor of that, because every single step they take is huge, you know, is huge for them. And then every single time they fall down is so huge for them, because then they learn how to get back up and all of this stuff. So it's like really seeing the concept of baby steps as, it's not small steps even. It's like, it's really, really valuable steps. And every step builds on the previous one. And so just really going back to that, like literally thinking about a baby learning to walk, like they have to take the steps and take the falls to learn.
Yeah, I like that analogy. Yeah. I never thought of it that way, but you're right.
Mm-hmm. Because like our brain goes, oh, it's just small. And then eventually our brain might go to like, well, it's too small. You know, this isn't even worth doing. And so you might want to think, you might want to call it something different than baby steps now.
Okay. No, I'm proud of myself. I am a totally different person now than I was.
And that's the other thing is that, you know, you have to keep, this has just been a theme with a lot of my coaching lately. Like you got to remind yourself how far you come. You know, you are like, we are all today future versions of ourselves. You know, we're our future self when we join, you know, from when we join PNP.
Yeah.
And like, how far have I come? You know, I mean, weight wise is only one of the, you know, one of the measures of that, a very minor measure, you know, how far have I come with my mental weight loss and, you know, just really reminding yourself because our brain just wants to go to the, well, you hadn't done this and you hadn't done this and you hadn't done this yet.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've been trying to journal every day about what I'm happy about for the day. At the end of the day, and how I'm proud of myself.
Mm-hmm. But also really reflecting back on, you know, a certain amount of time and thinking, you know, how did I make a different choice today than I would have made, you know, 3 months ago or 6 months ago or a year ago?
Oh, okay. I haven't thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have literally forgotten, like my friend said, my accountability partner, I was talking to her about binging and she's like, you know, you went through that like 3 week period where you didn't have any overeating. And I was like, I did. I don't even remember that. Like, I don't even, like, it was just like a month and a half ago or something like that. Our brain it files that away and it's moving on. So,
yes.
So it's like, oh, I need to go back and look at my, you know, that's why we have all this data, right? I need to go back and look at all these plans and see what was going on there. See where, you know, look at my TDLs, see where my mind was and get back at it.
Yeah.
So that's the value of all this data we have. It's like use it, utilize it.
Yeah. I actually went back to my data for the past few months and I realized that the more restrictive I became, the more binges I had. And it's like, duh. Yeah. I'm like, I just didn't realize how severe it was.
Yeah.
And how obvious it was when I look back at the data.
I mean, it is like one extreme or another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like our, again, it's this black and white, all or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
How can we move back into the middle?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm trying to work on. Back into just this steady life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where we don't have so many highs and lows.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for spending so much time with me. I appreciate it.
Well, I like talking to you and I think you gave everybody a lot to kind of think about. And
I hope so. Cause my head's spinning. I'm going to go back and rewatch this and
okay.
Yes. Get to work.
So, okay. All right.
Thank you so much, Betsy. Take care.
All right, we've got Tracy, Joy, and Gail. Hi, Tracy. Oop, hold on. Okay. I'm going to ask you to start your video. Need to make a note of the Zoom setting because I think something changed. I did do an update on Zoom. So, hi. Oh, wait. Let me unmute you again. Okay. Are you there?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. What's up? Good.
Well, a lot of similar things to what you were just speaking to Ivy about.
Okay.
And I probably should have done a coaching call a few weeks ago. And I thought I could kind of self-recover, if you will. And I haven't done as well as I had hoped. So I wanted to.
Okay. First, I want you to like turn that around. I want you to like decide that you like no shoulds, right? No shoulding all over yourself. So it's like, you're right where you need to be. You needed to go through that. Like, you shouldn't have done a coaching call a couple weeks ago. Like, you needed to go through all this so that you got to where you are today and you learned from whatever happened, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So something interesting in my data that I wanted to get your input on. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, today is my 200th day on PMP.
Oh my gosh, congrats.
Thank you. And I'm obsessed with data. Mm-hmm. And I've done 24-hour plans all but 13 days of those 200. I've assessed 100% of the time, but here's what's really jumping out at me.
Okay.
Is I've had 2 months, March and now July, where I've only followed my 24-hour plan, and March was 13% of the time, and this month it's 17% of the time. And I'm up 10 pounds already this month. Last month, I followed my plan 67% of the time, and I followed my hunger scale 80% of the time, and I lost almost 11 pounds. So clearly, I know what I need to do, mm-hmm. but I'm also concerned about, like, why do I go a couple of months doing well, and then I have like 1 month where I just tank, and then I finally get back on track, and I have a couple of months where I'm doing well, and then I tank. I want to stop that cycle.
Okay. So if you had to guess, why would it be?
So I think there's a couple of things. When I did one of the recovery worksheets this month, early in the month, like one of the things that I wrote at the end, like the question about like, what have you learned from this? I wrote, I'm not the badass I thought I was, mm-hmm. which is really a crummy thought.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, I know there's no like good foods or bad foods, but I find that if I eat something sweet, that then I just crave it, and then I just like I can't control it. So I've been wondering, like, do I want to be a person that just eliminates sugar altogether, or do I want to be, or can I ever be that person that can literally put, you know, one piece of candy on their hand and stop at one or two?
Okay, let me stop you there. Let me stop you there, because. Yeah. I mean, I think this is like, I was answering a question and asked coaches the other day about like people saying, you know, I'm addicted to sugar and that kind of stuff. And it's like, yes, I mean, totally, like, science will tell you that, you know, eating things with sugar does create, you know, can create, you know, cravings for more of it, right? Even artificial sweeteners. Like if I have a Diet Coke sometimes, even I had the Diet Coke the other day, and I found myself kind of thinking like, oh, you know, I kind of want something sweet after dinner or something like that. All of that is, you know, scientifically proven. But here's the deal. We always make a choice of what we put in our mouth, right? I mean, period. So, and a lot of us want to include sugar in our life because we're losing it the way that we're going to live it, right, for the rest of our lives. So when you're making that decision, I mean, your brain immediately wants to go to, well, just no sugar, no more sugar. That will solve that problem. Yeah. And I will ask you, I mean, is it realistic for you to totally eliminate sugar?
Yeah, probably not. But yeah.
And so the another alternative is for you to continue planning it and just staying curious with your body and your mind, right? Because I see a craving as, I mean, cravings can be physical, but I think that they're kind of, I mean, yes, cravings can be physical, but still, you know, our mind, we've always got our mind going too, right? And so when we feel a physical craving, it's like, oh, this is really, you know, big and I want this. And so it's never like just physical, right? Or just, you know, mental. Those two things always work together. And so all that to say, it's just like, it's a practice in planning those, you know, living your life, having birthday cake at, you know, someone's party or whatever, and then knowing what you're up for in terms of, okay, I may have some physical cravings and I'm going to practice, you know, managing my mind around them. And because a physical craving is just, you know, just another circumstance, right? And it's, I mean, it is like, you can really see it as a circumstance because it is scientifically proven, right? I mean, it is something that does happen. And so you can just decide, okay, this is where, you know, science comes in and my body really wants some more sugar. But I am choosing to not have it and to really just practice, you know, allowing and dismissing these urges.
So the other thing I found is when I'm doing my recovery worksheets, mm-hmm. I more often than not leave the feeling line blank. I can't identify what I'm feeling in that moment when I'm overeating.
Okay, so if you go back to the urges, buffering and urges course, mm-hmm. The feeling line is the urge. It's the urge feeling. So like that course kind of blew my mind because it kind of took out the whole like emotional eating piece where it's just a very simple model of, you may think, what were you saying? I'm not the badass I thought I was. And then that creates an urge for you to overeat. And then you mm-hmm. choose to overeat. And so, I mean, there was kind of a feeling in there, right? Where it's like, you know, I'm not the badass I thought I was. You may have felt less than, or you may have felt, you know, insecure or not confident or something like that. But it's this pattern that's developed where it's like, oh, we don't want to feel that. So let's feel the urge instead. I mean, it's really like just urge. And then you overeat because your brain is conditioned to just respond to that urge. So I mean, you can always put urge in that blank, but there definitely is something else going on there, right? Like, you know, you're not wanting to feel something. And so you feel this urge to, you know, to overeat, to cover mm-hmm. up that and to not feel it. Yeah, I mean, but it comes from your thoughts. It always comes from your thoughts. So if you can identify some thoughts in your recovery worksheet, you can ask yourself, okay, when I think I'm not the badass I thought I was, how does that feel? So what would your answer be for that?
It feels terrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I feel like I've been in this funk for a couple of weeks and I just can't snap myself out of it.
And I mean, and it literally may be like, and here's the thing, because I heard you at the beginning say like, I don't know why, right? Like, why is this happening every few months? And let's just decide that the answer is that thought. You know, it may have literally just been like that thought popped in your head at some point, something happened. And, you know, maybe you didn't lose weight 1 week or something like that. And that thought, you know, was introduced into your brain. And then from then on out, it's like, well, maybe we'll quit, but maybe we'll keep thinking this, you know, maybe we'll just keep thinking this, you know, no good reason. But once it's introduced into your brain, it's gonna, you know, it's like a habit, and you kind of just develop this habit. And then, you know, of thinking that, and then you get an urge and you overeat. So, I mean, just decide, okay, that's what's been going on here. There's nothing more complicated than that. It's probably a few other thoughts that have kind of built off that one maybe. And so it's time to think something different, you know, time to change things up. So what works for you when on those months that you are losing weight?
Well, I mean, clearly when I follow my plan and when I follow my hunger scale, I have good weight loss.
But what are you thinking? Like, what are you thinking and feeling when you're doing that?
I feel good about the decisions I'm making and the choices I'm making. And I think physically and mentally, I just feel better.
Yeah.
I feel happier. And like the last couple of weeks I've been retaining a lot of fluid and, you know, my ankles are swollen and I just don't physically feel as good as I did last month when I was eating much better.
And that's another piece of evidence. It's like, oh yeah, there's another sign that you're not the badass you thought you were. You got swollen ankles. You're not feeling good. Nope. We're definitely not a badass anymore. You know?
Yeah.
So it's just that one kind of thought just builds and builds and builds and builds because your brain starts scanning your environment, scanning your body for evidence of that thought. But when you were following your plan, you're like, oh, I followed my plan again today. I guess I am a badass. You know, I'm doing this. This is working. You have some good weigh-ins. Oh, this is working. You know, you feel good physically. Oh, I'm going to keep doing this. It's like whatever you put your brain to work on, it's going to, you know, it, whatever you focus on expands. That's what we say about the brain. Like whatever you, and so when, if you focus on being a badass, it's going to keep finding evidence. It's going to expand and you're going to keep going and going and building the, you know, those good thoughts. But then if you have the, you know, the crappy thoughts, it's just, you know, your brain is kind of like a computer. Like you just say, okay, go to work on this and it just does it. So it's like, you got to go back to this, like find some evidence right now of how you are a badass or how, you know, this is working or whatever thought you kind of want to build on and just start collecting your evidence. Right.
Okay.
And just start building on, you know, building on that thought. And then the old one will be like, well, I guess we are a badass. let's keep finding more evidence of that. You know, it's just your brain works on whatever you put it, you know, whatever you put it to work on.
Okay.
So, and for you, you've got this amazing data. You've got, you know, you've got all of the stats, all of the, you know, thought downloads and all that kind of stuff that, you know, like for the months that worked and for the months that, you know, didn't get you the result you want. So just go back to that, you know, those months where you were losing weight and just comb that data and really figure out what was working for you then. And then just, you know, get back at it, rinse and repeat. But here's the thing. This is like a normal thing, right? I mean, this is kind of where I want to end it, where it's like, okay, this is a normal thing for you to not just, you know, just keep going and going and going in the positive direction, right? I mean, we're going to have these times where it's just us being normal as humans. So ultimately, you just don't want to make it mean something is wrong about you. Something is, you know, this shouldn't be happening and that kind of stuff. It's just a kind of a point where it's like, okay, I need to remind my brain where I want it to focus on and let's get back at it. So nothing's gone wrong. It's nothing to be concerned about. It's just, okay, this is where my work is now. Let's refocus and just get back at it.
Yeah. And where I think I get upset because I think, all right, now I'm another month away from my goal because I did this but again, that probably just keeps reinforcing the negative thought.
Totally. Just another thought that reinforces another thought over here that's just piling on. all the negative stuff. And like I said at the beginning of our call, like you were absolutely supposed to have this month of gaining weight so that you could, you know, have the data and you could figure out what you don't want to, you know, keep doing and what you don't want to keep thinking, right? And so it's like we need to have these little touch points to remind us, okay, we gotta, you know, every once in a while, you know, everything we do is pretty easy, right? This whole weight loss thing is pretty easy in terms of the four basics. But sometimes our brain just gets a little off course, and that's totally normal and totally okay. And it's just, okay, here we go. Let's just get, you know, get back at it a little bit. And nothing's, like I said, nothing's gone wrong. Nothing, you know, is, you're right on, everything's right on time. You know, these are all thoughts that you can practice, right? Where it's just like, okay, well, I guess I was supposed to go through that. And now I'm back at losing weight, because there's just not a lot of people that don't have, you know, at least some points in their weight loss journey where they either like just, you know, kind of maintain for a while or they gain. And it's just like, all of those are the amazing learning opportunities that you have to keep going and ultimately lose it, you know, for good, and then be able to maintain it long term.
Yeah. Okay.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
All right.
And I want to say a shout out to Joy. She's next, and she's one of my 2-day friends. So, hi, Joy.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Let me get with her. All right, Joy. Thought I recognized y'all. Hey, recognize you too. What's up?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Hi, Tracy, my friend from the 2-day.
Yeah.
That was fun to see her on here.
What's up?
I actually had not planned on jumping on, but I knew I was going to watch. But there's a thought that keeps kind of running around in the back of my head. And as I'm losing weight, it's becoming a little louder and a little louder. And I want to figure out how to manage it or change it, or I don't know what I need to do. I don't even know what work I need to do. So,
well, I mean, awareness of it is the first step, right?
Okay.
So you're definitely.
Yeah, I'm definitely aware, and I don't like it. So I think I want to change it. But I don't even know how to start. So, you know, cause I've met you, I'm 6'1". And so as my body is changing, and I've lost, I always say I've lost like 1,000 pounds, but I, over time since my 20s, right now I'm PMP. I've lost 30 of 110. So I've seen some changes in my body, which is great. Where I'm going with this is ever since I was around fourth grade or like 10 is when I started being taller than my friends' moms. My feet were bigger than their mom. You know, like I became very aware that I was big, but I was just tall. I was not overweight at that stage of my life, but I don't think I understood the difference.
Right.
Right. And so all through high school, of course, I felt big because I was 6'1". I was an athlete with a rock hard body, but I never felt, I don't know, what's the word, hot or sexy or any of that. I just felt big. So as I gained weight in my adulthood and would be various stages of overweight, it all kind of felt the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, so much so that sometimes I would just mix up the not the tens digit of my weight, but the hundreds digit. Like people would say, what do you weigh? And say I weighed 270 at the time. Or if I had to write it down, I would write 170, 270. Like it just, there was no, not because I wanted to weigh that. Like it just doesn't register. Once I get over a certain weight, it's just all the same to me, I think. And maybe it's not. Maybe that's like what I need. I don't know where I need to start the work. But as I'm, my body is changing on the way down, I do like to see, of course, I like to see the changes. But I know that when I've gotten to my goal weights before, where I've actually thought this is a healthy weight, I still feel big.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so just to be a little bit more big is not that big of a deal.
Right.
And I think that's how I easily have crept back up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to do all this work to lose the weight and then have it not feel different. I want it to feel different. Like I want to feel healthy and strong and like I've done something good for myself, and recognize that I'm a tall woman and I'll always be bigger than most other women in the room, but I want it to feel different. Because I
like, so you say you want it to feel different, and I'm not sure if that thought is serving you, like different from what?
I think in the past when I've hit my goal weight, I just don't feel okay. So my compelling reason is I have three parts of it. I want to be a fun, hot grandma. Mm-hmm. And for me, the fun part means to be able to do all the things I want to do in life, like go out and be active. The hot part is to truly feel like sexy or hot. And I don't think I've ever felt that because I've always just felt big. And that has nothing, I'm in a wonderful marriage with a husband who totally thinks I'm sexy, tells me that. It's really not any message other than I've just never kind of claimed and felt that. And then grandma just means I want to live to a really old age, right? And so those are the three parts. So that middle part, I just have no reference for that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to like become a sex pot, right? But I don't think I've ever felt good about my body as an adult.
Okay, so here's the deal. So if you think about the model, because you've done it today and stuff, you know about the model. Fun, sexy, you know, what would be the word for like living a long time? I mean, just, you know, healthy. Basically, we're talking about, healthy, right? I mean, where you live a long time.
Yes.
Those are all feelings. And they don't come from a number on a scale.
Right.
They come from your thoughts. Because you can feel, especially fun.
Yeah.
Sexy. I mean, you are, I mean, you know, like you said, your husband thinks you're sexy now.
Right.
You can decide you're sexy right now as you are at the weight and height and everything, you know. And so it's all this stuff where it's like your compelling reason. Be careful about saying like, I want to feel this for your compelling reason, because when you step on that scale and it has a specific number, that is not what creates your feelings.
Okay.
And here's the thing, like from someone who's been there and probably, you know, you said you'd lost thousands of pounds. You know, we get to these goal weights and we're like, I mean, I just picture myself kind of standing on the scale going, okay, where are the balloons? Like, and what, you know, and nothing has changed.
Right.
Other than the number on the scale. So it's a matter of, you know, not necessarily like just, I mean, sitting here right now saying, I am sexy, you know, I am sexy, but it's like really working on why you want to feel sexy, why you want to feel fun. If you don't feel those now, why is that? You know, and really getting to those thoughts that you're thinking right now that, you know, that it's just all about like where you are right now. And you said something at the very beginning of your question about something about good or bad, or like, I mean, it's just this like, you know, I want to be better, like I want to do better, I want to be better. And it's, you know, for all of you all, it's, you know, it goes back to all this self-love, right? You can't hate yourself on the, you know, the way down the scale. You can't say I hate myself now. And I think you said like I'm having these thoughts I don't like.
Yeah.
And so it's, you're like, ooh, I don't like it here. This, you know, I don't like this. I'm resisting it. You know, you want to change these thoughts. That's what it was. Like, thoughts are not, you know, there's not thoughts that are good or bad, right? I mean, you know, just like choices are not good or bad. And so it's working on, you know, having this compassion and self-love, where it's like, okay, here I am right now where I am. I'm not getting the result that I want, but that still doesn't make, you know, me thinking anything bad.
Right.
So it's like, that's why I love the bridging thought. Like I keep thinking, fill in the blank. Like I keep thinking I'm too big.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I love to just add, and that's okay. Okay. Because just that helps me just kind of think, okay, it's just all okay. It's not this thought that I need to run away from or that I need to get away from. It's just, I need to just be here right now and be okay. And you're kind of there where it's like, you know where it comes from in terms of your childhood and things like that.
Right.
To practice thought. But I think you make big, you know, the word big means something more just your height and things like that. Right. So it's really kind of exploring all of that. And just being okay. Like, okay. It's been since I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
Like my brain has really gotten to the really good habit of thinking this stuff.
Right.
It's okay. But if I want to change it, I want it to come from like, I love myself where I am. And I just want to do something different. I want to be something different and not because this is good and this is bad.
Right.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. I'm still feeling this so I got on a Q&A with Corinne the other day and I was asking about eating in bed,
mm-hmm.
which I practically haven't done now for 4 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, I can't give y'all a thought. And then she said, well, I could give y'all one thought, but you won't like it. And she said, if I held a gun to your loved one's head and told you had to lose weight, you would all do it. And here's what my immediate thought was like, yeah, I would lose the weight, but even with a gun to their head, I'm not sure I could keep it off because I've never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think through that trip, like I started thinking about why have I never done it before? And partly I think I didn't have the skills or the mental tools to do it before, but I also just feel like I think that's where this came up. Like I haven't kept it off because I still felt big.
Here's the thing. Like are you a grandma already? Are you a grandma? Oh, she froze up.
No. Nope.
Okay. Not yet, but okay.
No.
I was listening to at the gym this morning. I was listening to Corinne talk about, this is a really good call for everybody. I wanted to tell everybody it's the, it's one of her new best of Corinne's and it's about, I'll find it. But it was the same thing. Like if you had a gun to your son's head, you know, would you be able to wait? Yes. Here's the thing. If there was a gun to your child's head,
right,
you had to keep it off, you would keep it off. Like what you're saying is bullshit. I mean, you would be able to keep it off. It doesn't matter if you've never done it before. You would be like, oh my gosh, I've never done this before, but I'm figuring this out because I love my child. You know, it's just like, and here's the thing. And you've also never lost it in this way. And
right.
You're doing that and you're doing that. So it's like, don't think that it's different, you know, that's, and then like keeping it off is different. You're doing something different even right now.
Okay.
That makes sense. Doing the mental work now, probably more than you did in the past.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not like it's just the very same until you have to keep it off, right? I mean, give yourself some credit. You're doing differently now. So I think that kind of that just that line of thinking is BS because you're already doing it differently. You're doing it in a way that is different, harder in terms of like, you know, you're looking at your thoughts and all that kind of stuff. So you would absolutely be able to do it because you're doing it now and you figure it out just like you're figuring it out now. So, but it's
makes just, so much sense.
It's like, it's a sneaky way for your brain to be like, well, but what about keeping it off?
No, that makes so much sense. I just wrote that down. Keeping it off isn't different.
No different. I mean, it's literally no different in terms of your actions.
Okay.
It's no different, period. Yeah. Because I truly believe that your body just kind of finds a weight where you just kind of level out.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything different. You know, you're not, you know, you're following the hunger scale. You're doing all the four basics. I mean, I'm there. So it's like maintenance is not this big, huge, new thing.
Okay.
You just keep going.
Okay. I'm going to do some work around this word big in my head and what that means. And thank you that you gave me some good direction and I'll go from here. Thank you, Betsy.
All right.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. There was a comment in here I think I wanted to look at. Trying to wrap my head around making choices versus good or bad choices. They're just choices we make, and we decide if they help or hurt our goals and make the next best choice without judgment. Right. I hear it, believe it, need to learn to practice it. Right. And it's like, even if it doesn't get us to our goal, it's not bad. Right. It's like, okay, I guess maybe this is a day that I gain a little bit of weight. Like, you know, if you think about going on vacation, and Corinne always talks about sometimes she plans to gain weight on vacation. Sometimes she plans to stay the same. Sometimes she plans to lose. But nothing is good or bad, right? I mean, if we could just, oh my gosh, y'all, if we could just see all of our choices as neutral, as totally neutral, and not beat ourselves up with different, you know, with the choices that we make and the results we get. Like, that's why we don't say the model is like the good model and the bad model. We say unintentional and intentional for a reason. And for those of y'all who aren't, I'm waiting for some hands to be raised, by the way, which is why I'm talking. And so that's why we call it unintentional, intentional. And by the way, like the unintentional model, again, the word unintentional is not bad. It's not even negative. It's just like, oh, this is the model that I'm not intending to do, that I'm not really kind of conscious. It's really just like a consciousness thing. Like, I'm just not conscious of this model. That's interesting. I'll be curious about it. That's what the, and it's like, oh, and it's not getting me the result that I want, because I want to lose weight. But still, what you want is totally neutral. Some people want to lose weight. Some people don't. Some people are perfectly happy at whatever weight they are, right? And so it's just all about this judgment. And so the intentional model is like, okay, I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to be conscious about what I'm choosing to think, feel, and do. And then it gets me the result that I do want. And so, yeah, I mean, I love that word unintentional and intentional. It's not like the negative model and the positive model, or the bad model and the good model. Okay. Gail, ooh, I want to hear about the strangest overeat you had last night. Ooh. Trying to unmute you. And then I'm going to ask you to start your video. There we go. Are you there? There you are. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Ooh, your hair is so pretty. I'm waiting for mine to get that color.
Oh, yeah. My God. I always had brown hair until March. And I do highlights, lowlights, longer hair. And I retired in April. And the month before, she bleached it down and burned it up. She's a great hairdresser. It's just my hair reacted. And about 3 months ago, I cut it off. This is my natural white now.
Love it. I love it. Yes. My dad's is that color. And my brother, he's only just a few years older than me, and his hair is totally white. So I went just all natural. I'm doing gray, and I'm just hoping it'll just kind of keep getting better. So anyway. All right. So what's up? What's up with this overeat?
I haven't had this serious of an overeat in a very long time. I've been successful. It took me 9 months to lose 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I know that I would have gained it all back in the past 9 months. I joined PMP in April of this year. Mm-hmm. But I haven't been wildly successful. And I do my plans, and I realize there's two things going on, that I have almost an overeat once a week. And it's not as extreme as last night, which is a really weird. It's like a nightmare almost. Mm-hmm. But I stay on plan. I eat healthy. I walk. And I just don't have the momentum that I had before. But I also recognize if I weren't doing PMP, I probably would have gained all my weight back in the past 9 months. So I'm working on the mental aspect of it. Last night it was strange. I laid down, was doing my assessment of the day. watched a blog about oatmeal, chocolate oatmeal, tastes like brownies. And I thought, oh, that would be a great idea. It was protein. I'm not going to describe the recipe, but it was quasi-healthy. It was all the, except for the lots of oatmeal. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to go and make that. It's 10 o'clock. My husband's watching the ball game. And I start making it, and I tasted it, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is wonderful. This will be great for breakfast. Because I really don't do sugar, although I have to get all artificial sweeteners. And I continued to eat it right in front of him, like spoonfuls. And he didn't say anything. My husband's really good about that. He just said, what are you doing when I was making it? And I told him and so forth. Because I watched this woman make it. She has her baby and a sling next to her. And the concoction looks really good, yada, yada. And I know what triggered it, I think. Okay. I've been thinking about this all morning. The littlest thing sometimes that ticks me off. My husband had taken the dogs out. We've had a lot of thunder and lightning because of the storms moving up through the Gulf for the past couple of days. Two of the four dogs, they're horrendous about going to the bathroom. And a neighbor set off some fireworks. Again, it's not the 4th of July, but they keep going off. Sets the dogs off. He's trying to get them out, you know. Yada, yada. So I think that may have triggered it, that I just was like, damn it, the dogs aren't going out, da, da, da. And then I watched my blog and made the food. But then I woke up at 5:30 to take the dog that didn't go out to the bathroom, and I ate the rest of the concoction. I'm like, didn't even think about a 90-second, you know, talk down or anything. And I'm like, I have not been that extreme in almost 2 years. And I'm like, what in the hay caused that? And I've listened to you did an excellent job with Ivy. I mean, it was like on spot, on point, constantly, everything that you said. And then also Tracy. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking, is this ever going to go away? You're going to always have these overeats, not as extreme as last night, I hope, but that you're going to have to constantly be mindful and watchful, regardless, that they just don't disappear. You're always going, it's just, it's life, right?
It's life, yeah. Because, I mean, like, we're just also, most everyone we know is going along in life, you know, unconscious, right? They're not aware of all these thoughts. And so, yeah, and this is us now. we're the chosen few that get to live a conscious, deliberate life on purpose and know that we can control, you know, it's nothing ever outside of ourselves that, you know, that affect us. And I mean, I see that as a gift, an absolute gift. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's fun a lot of the time. I mean, a lot of the time it isn't fun. But yeah, I mean, that's the way it is. Are you willing to do that?
My intent is to reach Century Club by camp, but my truest intent is to reach goal of 140 pounds. Mm-hmm. And that's a total of 120 pounds that I would have lost. And I know that I'm capable of it.
Yeah.
And that's the second part of my question. I listen to all the podcasts. I take notes like my pen's on fire. I get the aha moments. But the one thing I won't do, and I have chosen not to do, is not to leave food on my plate. So I'm reaching my two. I get the sigh, but I'll still eat the last bit of that food.
Why?
I don't know. It's good. It's healthy food. It's salads. It's salmon. It's chicken. I'm a big quantity eater, so I have to eat a lot of vegetables and fill up. I just feel like
I'm a big quantity eater.
Mm-hmm.
That is a thought, right? Is that helping you?
No.
I mean, that sounds like a real handy thought, that whenever you want to eat a little bit more because it just tastes good. Oh, but I'm a big quantity eater. I mean, you told me that like it was just a fact of life. But that is a big hairy thought. That is, heck, you may have even been thinking that with the oatmeal stuff. And maybe unconsciously in the back of your mind. I'm not saying, you know, you weren't, but it's like, that's a thought that's gonna, you know, it's just probably a few extra bites here and there now. But as you continue to lose weight, and then as you get, you know, you're gonna get to goal weight eventually. And then it's just doing the same thing and you don't get the reward on the scale anymore. So that's a thought for you to sure examine. Because is it true? Is it creating the result that you want? Is it going to get the 140, right? Total off. Is it going to, you know, to get you through life maintaining that weight? But I want to go back to the ovary too.
Okay.
Because I sat and listened to your story. Just an ovary. It's not extreme. It's not weird. It's just an ovary.
I think it's weird. I mean, to get up at 10 o'clock, make the oatmeal mixture that you're going to have for breakfast and start eating it and not stopping. And
you think it's weird because maybe it's something you haven't done before. Or it's something that is different for you. But you're choosing to think that it's weird, that it's extreme, that it's a big deal.
I thought I must.
Just a choice. Just a couple of choices. Just a couple of neutral, not good, not bad choices.
In my TDLs and my recovery worksheets, I constantly remind myself, stop beating yourself up, move on. And I'm a positive person. I tend to reflect and don't beat myself up. And today I have beaten the living, you know what, out of myself. Are you crazy? It's like when you used to eat a whole march with your husband back in the day and subs and all that. I'm like, what came over me? What? It was like, it wasn't even a fog eat because the fog eats have stopped with the pantry. It was extreme to me.
See, and that is just your big old dramatic, hairy story. And I mean, and probably it started with, again, with one thought, just like I think I was talking about with Tracy, where it was like, I mean, it just probably started with like, oh, this is extreme. And then your brain goes, How was this extreme? Okay, let's come up with all these different ways it was extreme. You know, it was more than you normally do. And then you got up in the night and then you did this. Oh, if this is extreme, let's come up with all the ways it was extreme. It's just your brain working exactly the way it's supposed to. I mean, nothing has gone wrong here. You probably had some thoughts about the dogs, about the storm that's coming. And you're like, I don't want to feel any of that. And I just made this amazing chocolate oatmeal stuff that, by the way, sounds great. And it was made by this wonderful woman with her baby on her hip. And I mean, you know, it's just like, it just all happened, but it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a sign of something gone horribly wrong. But your brain is just catastrophizing this.
That's true. Yes. And I agree about the need to have quantity of zucchini or vegetables and so forth. And that's why I've only lost barely 3 pounds, is because I'm still eating large quantities. Even though it's healthy food, it's maintained.
Doesn't matter. You're like eating to maintain. Mm-hmm. You know? It does not matter what it is. Because, I mean, I was just eating this, like, kale this bowl with kale and butternut squash and just a little bit of rice. And I was like, I mean, this is like the healthiest thing ever. I mean, it's just like, and you still get full, you know, it's not like you're not going to get full on anything that you eat. But when you start categorizing foods, oh, I can eat more of this because it's healthy and all this kind of stuff, that can get, you know, get you down a slippery slope of justifications, of making excuses to eat more. And ultimately, it's like, you know, it's these thoughts like, I should get to eat more. I get to eat more because it's healthy. And it's just, I deserve to eat more. And those are all thoughts you got to examine, because it's like, those are not going to, you know, those are not going to help you as you keep, you know, moving forward. And you don't ever get to eat more than your body needs for fuel.
And when I have felt the hunger, when I feel like, oh, I go to bed and I'm slightly hungry, but I don't need to eat another dinner. And I've cut out eating after 7 till last night. Mm-hmm. I know I'm dramatizing it, but it just feels good, because that's when I've had more successful weight loss. You know, I can feel it. I've been through the sensations, and I get all that. It was just those two items I just had to talk through, because okay.
But here's the deal. Like, I want you to ask yourself for the rest of the day, how is this not a big deal? How is this, you know, how is this, you know, how are these just choices I made last night and they're not a big deal?
Okay.
And also, I mean, have you done your recovery worksheet?
I've been purging my pantry just because I get out on organizing that. I just wanted to do something, and I've been doing it in my mind. I will sit down and write it.
I want you to sit down and do it. And then, you know, like the last question on the recovery worksheet is like, how can I move on from this? Right. And so it's almost like I'll kind of even want to go back on what I said, because I want you to do the work on it and learn from it, but then I don't want you to think about it anymore. You know, I want you to just move on from it. So, so with your work in the recovery worksheet, I want you to answer, you know, how can I make this not a big deal? How can I just make this see this as another overeat? Because here's the deal about overeats. I mean, overeats, binges, whatever you want to call them, none of them are better or worse than anything else. None of them are bigger or smaller than anything else, you know, or like eating off plan versus eating, you know, overeating or whatever it is. None of those are better or worse or bigger or smaller. You know, if you find yourself putting an adjective like extreme, like strange to your eating, then that's a red flag, right? Like, because they're all just choices. So really ask yourself, why am I wanting to describe this in a certain way compared to other experiences and things like that? Because your brain wants to make it a bigger deal. And then that gives you more and more evidence to keep overeating, to, you know, keep going in that direction that you don't want.
So that's a good point, because I've heard that through the coaching sessions, that we validate that experience in our minds, saying that it was extreme, it was a, you know, huge difference. We have the evidence now.
Okay. Like I said, what you focus on expands, and you've been focusing on how extreme this was. And so your brain is just scanning the environment, scanning you for how is this extreme? Let's build all the evidence. That's, you know, your brain is just working exactly the way it's supposed to. But when you can turn it around and say, how is this not extreme? How is this just not a big deal? That this is just another overeat. This is just one of those mistakes, one of those learning experiences that I'm going to have at P&P. I'm going to sit down and learn from it, and then I'm moving on.
And they do eventually become less and less over time. But what I've heard too, we'll always be fighting that battle to some degree.
You can choose to see it as fighting a battle. That does not It's not a battle to fight. Weight loss is not a battle to fight. Why? I mean, why would you choose to think of it that way? That is your thought, that weight loss is a battle to fight. That makes it seem very hard and very painful and all of that.
Not weight loss, just those choices that are not necessarily giving you the results that you
want. Okay, so that you're identifying choices now as hard. And, you know, you may not be doing good or bad, but you're still seeing them as harder or easier. So that's just another way you're qualifying these choices as not neutral, right? You're seeing them as hard or easy. And so, you know, so look for that too. Because, yeah, it can be good or bad, hard or easy, but nope, just choices. Just choices. Again, that gets you the results you want or don't want. But still, all of that is neutral.
Okay. Well, I definitely will go back and listen to the first two that you pitched on, as well as mine. I appreciate
it.
It was nice meeting you.
Yes, you too. All right, talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Gail. And Amy is up next. Let me see this real quick. As I weigh less, then I don't need as much food and have to adjust the amount I put on my plate or leave behind. Exactly, Angie. And you have to decide how you want to think about that, right? That you now need less food. What do you make that mean? Okay, Amy. Oh, there's some questions too. Hi. How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Yes. What's up?
I just got in from a bike ride. I'm surprised there must not be very many people on today.
There's a lot of people on, but folks haven't been raising their hands. So,
So today I've just had some different realizations. I've always feel like I've known sugar has, it just doesn't do well in my body. It hurts the next day. Like I can write down all the reasons why I don't want it. Mm-hmm. There's in the moments, like, so last night and the eating after supper, those are my two. I'm like, if I would cut both of those, I know I would lose mm-hmm. weight and it would start moving in the right direction. So it's a hiccup. Last week, I did great not eating after supper. And this week, sleep hasn't been as good. So that has come up again a little bit more. And I've eaten some. So last night, I was in bed. The kids were around and in there and went to the kitchen. And first, I had a healthy snack. And then I got the ice cream and stuff. And even one of my children said, they know some of the things to say to me. Mom, is that on your plan? Well, it was my exception meal for supper. And I said, well, it's my exception. Like, nobody's business. And it wasn't, because that was supper. And right. After supper, I was done.
Right.
And yeah, this morning, I feel like crap. I mean, I could go through the list. So where...
Basically, so talking about the sugar, right? You said there's so many reasons I don't want it, but you still have a lot of reasons that you do want it.
Yeah.
It's a matter of really, like, I mean, you know, kind of putting those side by side. I mean, why do you want it? We know why you don't want it. You don't feel good, you know, all this. I mean, it doesn't allow you to lose weight, all this kind of stuff. We know that. Side of the list. Why do you want it?
And every time I start to journal about that, I come up with all the reasons I don't.
No, yeah, because it's a lot easier to do that than to actually admit that you do want it for these reasons.
To not feel discomfort.
Right. Probably. Responding to an urge, right?
Yeah.
It's not, sugar is good. It is, you know, it's, It gives us that fix. It gives us the, what's the word? I mean, you know, it's got all the whatever chemicals in it. I mean, it's not a mystery, but it's a matter of, you know, being honest with yourself. I mean, you're really just kind of, it almost kind of sounds like you're just kind of white knuckling through it. Like, I don't want it because of this, but I really do want it. And, you know, and so you just probably kind of eventually lost the fight between the two sides and, you know, just made a choice. Right. And so again, it's just like being honest with yourself. You do want it. And then deciding like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, I want it for these reasons and all that's okay, but I'm still in control and I can still decide to sit with some discomfort and not eat it because of these reasons.
So in help with sometimes in those moments, it's the nighttime going to bed when I'm like struggling with words. When I feel like when I give in more, the other times throughout the day, I can absolutely be like, yeah, I don't like how that feels in my body. I don't want it.
So why do you think you give in at night? You give in more at night.
Because I get frustrated about, it's so stupid. I get frustrated about not being able to get my sleep, I think, or like, fall asleep or like sitting in discomfort, like how, in the sense of how am I going to be able to fall asleep if I'm sitting in discomfort?
Oh, but the sugar is going to help. It's going to really help you get to sleep.
Right? Exactly. I sleep worse when I have that.
Right. So it's just like nothing's gone wrong here. Everything is happening like normally in your brain where it's like, we want sugar. We've decided we want sugar more than we don't want it. And so we are going to work on Amy and finding every reason we can, every excuse we can to go into the kitchen and have the sugar. Because you have decided that you want it more than you don't want it. So if you decide that you want to move to not wanting it more than you want it, what do you think is in the middle there? A bunch of fun stuff like discomfort and, you know, allowing urges and practice and trial and error and making mistakes and not beating yourself up and moving on and all the work we talk about, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also having a time where you do allow the urge and you feel like the most victorious person in the world. And that's
right.
What is amazing. And, you know, you allow the urge and then you're able to get like an amazing night's sleep.
Yes.
Because you didn't, you know, but it's just all like you can decide that it's that not having sugar is more important, but it's not just a switch, you know, that you flip on, right? It's not just like, oh, okay, now my brain's just going to work, you know, go to work on that side.
But why not?
But also, I heard you say at some point, this is so stupid, right? I mean, you got to watch those thoughts and those, and even saying that out loud, right? I mean, that you're beating yourself up right there. You're judging yourself when it's like Shakespeare, to have sugar or to not have sugar, to, you know, to be or not to be, to have sugar or not to have sugar. Neither one is good or bad. But you've just got to choose which one you want more than which one you don't want. And so, I mean, if you haven't like laid out the, you know, the both sides of the argument, you want to, even though, you know, I don't want to call it an argument, but it's like, you know, just both sides of the equation, then be for sure and get that out on paper.
Okay.
And then, you know, just find some compelling reasons.
Yep.
And so when you choose, and again, all about compelling reason is that, you know, it doesn't make anything easier, but it makes it easier to choose discomfort in the moment.
Okay.
And then so over time, it gets, you know, the discomfort gets a little bit easier, but it's always going to be, you know, you're going to want it sometimes.
So I think that's where I really get frustrated with myself, where like last week and the first part of this week, I think, wow, I got it. Like, this is great. It felt like second nature. I could talk to the urge, like, hey, mm-hmm. yeah, you want that, but we're not having it. And it was done. So then I don't know a better word, when it felt stronger or more persistent, maybe that was white knuckling then.
Right.
And it didn't happen. Like, then I gave in. Like, oh, I just.
The problem is not the urge, because an urge is never stronger or weaker. I mean, an urge is just an urge. It's your frustration that you chose to feel. Like, this shouldn't be happening. I've done so good the rest of the week. This is, you know, I hate this. And all that. That's what created your frustration, was your thoughts about it. Your thoughts of, you know, when we're all going to have urges all the time and it's totally normal. You know, it's because, yeah, I mean, you like, you know, beginning of the week, you probably were, you know, you were thinking different thoughts, right? You were thinking, okay, I'm doing this. We're good. I mean, you know, for a lot of us, the beginning of the week is like that. It's because it's not like you're more motivated at the beginning of the week. You're more motivated because you're thinking different thoughts at the beginning of the week. I can do this. Let's do this. You know, you still got, you know, more time before weigh-in day, all that kind of stuff, right? I mean, it's like, I have time to do this, that kind of stuff. And so all goes back to your thoughts.
So in those moments where, because I think that subconscious, or maybe not subconscious, the thought of, I can't do this, or I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. I think that probably came up last night. And then, after that thought, it was instant. Like there was no more.
Right. And like at the end of the day, just like every other human being on this planet, at the end of the day, your white knuckling is, you know, is weaker. It's been, you know, you've just been thinking thousands of thoughts all day. You're tired and all of that. And so you have got to come up with, kind of a protocol. And I mean, I like the concept of just, you know, after dinner, the kitchen is closed. Like the light is out. It's done. You know, it's all these like little tricks and hacks, right? But all of it comes back to like, I am not doing this. I mean, it's much easier for you to just think at the, you know, at night, and it's much easier for your brain to just think, we're not doing this. You know, if your brain is tired at the end of the day, just come up with a really simple thought, like, not an option. And, you know, and practice that. You know, it's not like you got to go through all your compelling reasons and things like that. I mean, but, you know, you want to have those as backup, right? But it's just like your brain is just looking for direction and an answer. And if you can just give it something easy to, you know, because really I find that at the end of the day, actually, I had an overeat like at night. I don't normally overeat a lot like after dinner at night, but I had one the other day. And I realized what usually works for me is like, you know what? I could just go to bed and like, I love to sleep. And most of the time that works, where it's just like, you know, I can just go to sleep. I can just curl up. I can go in, you know, curl up on the couch or do whatever. And then, you know, that's better for me than overeating. But like that one night I chose to do something different, and that's okay. Right. But what I learned from it was, if I can just tell myself, you know, Betsy, just go to bed. You just want to go to bed. And you'll love it. You'll love it to go to bed. I mean, I get excited to go to bed. So, you know, it's just a matter of, and so that's what I mean, I see that as that overeat as a great experience, because I learned that. Okay. You know, I became aware of that, and that's what works for me. So for you, it's just practicing imperfection, right? Sometimes you're going to overeat, but it's like, what? And I mean, and from last night, I want you to, have you done a recovery worksheet? you do your recovery worksheet.
It's on. Yep, it is on my table. I chose to go for a bike ride first. I should have.
Again,
recovery.
Your choice. Totally first. Neutral choice, right? But you do your recovery worksheet and then figure out what you're going to take from it, and then you move on.
Okay.
Without beating yourself up, without judgment, without this is stupid, all that.
Okay. To help that thought come more regularly, the this isn't an option. I like that. Do you post it anywhere? How do you get that in your...
Yeah.
Get it to stick.
Do it, post it. You know, I had a client the other day. I mean, she has these post-its, like, I don't know if they're like the door to her pantry, the door to her refrigerator, the door, you know, like the, think about the pattern that you do when you, you know, overeat, right? Like where, you know, what's the path you take? What's the, you know, what are you seeing? And anything that can kind of knock you out of, you know, just kind of unconsciousness, right? And so, yeah, I mean, anything that you can try, you know, set some sort of alarm on your phone, like at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock or whatever, like, remember, we're done eating today. The kitchen is closed. It's not an option, whatever it is, you know, any little reminders like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Great.
Certainly won't hurt any. And, you know, again, not going to work every single time, but nothing does. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to not overeat 100% of the time to lose weight around here, right?
Yeah. I think that's my another big poison thought. I expect it to work every single time. Right.
And you think that you have to be perfect to lose weight. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely I say that because like that was me. That was me back in the day. So for sure. And it's like, once I realized, oh my gosh, I don't have to be perfect. Oh, you know,
yeah,
that was huge. But you have to live imperfectly and get results to, you know, to prove to yourself that that's true, that that thought is true, that I don't have to be perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. All right.
All right. Good call.
Thanks, girl.
All right. Talk to you later. Okay. Bye. Okay. Hold on, y'all. Pause my Zoom. Look in my computer. Okay. Trish, you're up next. Then I might answer some questions. Hey. There we go.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
That pretty painting in the background. I remember.
Yep. That's
Corinne,
right.
Somebody was, I think Corinne was coaching you. She talked about
that painting. Yeah. Yeah. I've coached with Corinne a couple times and Kathy a couple times, but this is my first time with you.
That's good. Well, welcome. Yes.
Glad Thank you.
What's up?
Well, I heard you talking about models a few minutes ago. And I would just like help on models in general. I really don't get them. I mean, I can TDL and write my journal, whatever, but a model just seems that like I'm just writing words and it doesn't resonate.
Okay, so why doesn't it resonate? Like what, when you think about the model, like what immediately comes to mind?
That it's just words written down and it, I guess I can't correlate it to my TDL and my feelings. I understand the concept.
Right.
I just don't feel it, I guess.
Okay. So like you want to work a model and see how that works? Would that, you think that would work for you? Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Last week. Okay.
You can start talking and then I'll
Okay. Last week I was coaching with Corinne on the possibility of becoming the caregiver for my mother.
Yeah.
And how I didn't want to do that and was thinking that it was a disruption in my life and that all the things would go wrong and I'd gain all my weight back. And of course she's like, what if it doesn't go wrong? And so she was telling me to TDL on all my feelings I was talking about, but to do a model, but I had TDL'd on what if it doesn't go wrong. And I can do that, no problem. But to put it in such a confined spot, I guess.
Okay.
I just can't do it.
Okay, let's do it then. Because I think it's pretty clear. Let's see, make sure you can see it. No, there's a... Let me close the window a little bit so there's not glare. Not so much glare. No, that didn't work. Hold on, let me do it the other way. I don't know if that's going to help very much. Maybe a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Might be kind of dark, but no, it's okay. All right, so your mother... So what's going on with your mother again?
Well, it's nothing at the moment. And that's part of what Corinne was telling me, that I'm nothing at the moment, but I am already down the road catastrophizing it.
Okay. Okay. But so let's say, like, how old is your mother?
She's 84.
Okay. So the circumstance here, I mean, this is a circumstance, right? Mom is 84.
Right.
Has she been diagnosed with anything, or what are the facts with your, any other facts with your mom right now?
Probably no facts. My brother is taking care of her right now.
Okay.
He retired and came back from Colorado, moved in with her. And it's not that really, she really needs that much taking care of at this point, but he's there and he, you know, does the cooking and takes her to the doctor and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Let's just stick with mom as 84. Okay. I think that'd be good.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So what was your thought that you worked with Corinne on?
That having to take care of her is going to be a disruption in my life.
Okay. And that's, I mean, and that's kind of comes from another thought of a previous thought of, I'm going to have to take care of her. I'm going to
right.
take care of her, I guess. But right. Okay. Having to take care of her will be a disruption. And you mentioned something like something's going wrong. You said something about wrong.
Right. When I was coaching with Corinne, I was coming at it as in the future that it's already gone wrong and I'm sitting here and it isn't even quite a possibility yet.
Okay. Okay. So, all right. So that's another thought, right? Like, right. you know, it's already gone right. wrong even though nothing's happened yet. So right. that could kind of, I mean, that could be in here too, but okay. we'll just stick with this one. So when you think having to take care of her will be a disruption mm-hmm. in my life, how does that feel?
It feels scary. Mm-hmm. Depressing. What did I wrote? I wrote, shitty and guilty.
Okay. Guilt. So it's almost like, but you feel, why do you feel guilty?
Because I don't want to do it, but I will do it, but I don't want to do it because I don't want to change. I don't want to change my life from the way it is now. And that makes me feel guilty that I wouldn't be like running arms open to go take care of my mother.
Right. Okay. So that's definitely, now we normally just put one, you know, one feeling in the line.
Right.
So, and you, after this, when, you know, after we kind of go through all this, you can work on that. I mean, you can just separate out these feelings, and because it may be kind of a different, like a little bit of a different thought. I mean, because like fear, your thought is like, I'm scared of something.
Right.
Right. And so you could do a model on that, but let's just stick with this now. Okay. So when you feel fear, depression, and guilt
mm-hmm.
about what you're thinking about your mom, what do you do or not do?
See, that's where this is where I get the disconnect, because I don't know what my action would be. Mainly because that's not happening right now, but I mean, I don't know.
Okay. So when you kind of go through this cycle of you're like, oh, whenever something happens to my mom, I'm going to have to do this and I don't want to. And then you feel fear and you feel guilt and you feel depressed. You probably are like, I don't like these feelings, right? I mean, these feelings are not super fun.
Right.
And so you're probably feeling like resistance to those feelings.
Right.
You're not wanting to feel those feelings. You're wanting right. to numb yourself. You're
I
wanting
want to ignore.
Ignore.
I want to ignore it.
So what do you do when you're wanting to ignore, when you're wanting to numb? You know, we call all that buffering, right?
Right.
When you're wanting to buffer. I mean, and we can put buffer here, you know, but what specifically, how do you buffer?
I just stop thinking about it and do something else.
What do you do?
What do I do? Well, I know when I was coaching with Corinne and she told me to TDL on what if it all goes right. And so I TDL'd on that. Cause so I have a TDL of before the coaching and a TDL after the coaching. So it's almost like an unintentional and intentional model, only it's not the model. It's a TDL.
Right. Yeah.
But I guess just to, what would I do? I'm trying to think what I did. I think I just like did some P&P stuff or okay. maybe watch TV. It was just okay. something. I didn't eat. I know that.
Okay. But you're still like.
I'm still buffering. I know.
Not feeling your feelings about
yes.
it.
Right.
And we could just even just put not feeling feelings. And here's the thing. Even though you didn't eat, you still had an urge here, right? You had an urge to not feel your feelings and right. to do something instead. Like you're responding to the urge to buffer with P&P stuff, with TV. And so, right. you know, it's all the same thing, right? It's just you chose a different buffer.
Right.
Other than food.
Right.
So, okay. So, and the result is?
I'm what? Still... afraid, depressed, and feeling guilty.
Yeah, it's like you're, I mean, nothing changes, right?
Right.
And it's almost like you're, you know, because we always say the result goes back up and proves the thought true.
Right.
It's almost like you're disrupting your life already.
That's exactly what Corinne said. Yes. I'm disrupting my life already because I'm catastrophizing something that hasn't even existed right. yet.
So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Like my right. life is going to be disrupted. Might as well just disrupt it now.
Right.
And just not do, you know, not feel stuff, not do what I need, you know, I need to do.
Right.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad that I had the same answer as Corinne. That's always a good thing. Okay, so this is your unintentional.
Right.
So what questions do you have about this just in terms of like the purpose, the point, all that?
It feels very clinical. Is it supposed to feel clinical?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, so it's not supposed to like I write this down and go, oh my God, that makes so much sense. It's supposed to be clinical?
It could. I mean, for some people... It does, but yeah, I mean, it could just be like, okay, this is what's happening. It's not, you know, okay. it's not like a big surprise to you. It's not, you know, earth shattering, but it's just like, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes when I can put something in the model, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm normal. Right. I mean, it's like, because you can put everything in the model, you can put right. anything in the model. And so sometimes it kind of, you know, helps me think like, okay, I'm normal. It's just a thought pattern, you know, it's just a model that I'm choosing to live over and over again.
Right.
And, you know, and so, and that means that I have the choice on whether I want to, you know, keep living that model or I want to do a different model because all because of the result that I want.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, it, you know, it's not like you have to have a big aha moment.
Okay. I guess maybe that's why I was thinking that I didn't know what I was doing because it just all was very clinical to me rather than like I would write it down and go, bing, okay, now I know how to answer all the questions in the universe. So.
Yeah, I mean, think about that word clinical. Like, what do you mean by clinical?
That it's just words. There's yeah. no feeling. There's no nothing. It's just documentation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of, I mean, this is, it's like documentation right. of your thoughts, feelings, actions. Okay. And I mean, and you're doing well in terms of like, you're not, it sounds like you're not judging where you are right now. And that's good. No. Like, you're not seeing this as like something that you just want to get away from and that you want to change really quick or whatever. It's just, I mean, it should be seen as just, okay, this is what's going on with me right now. These, you know, after mom is 84, the rest is your choice, right? The rest is, you know, the reality that you are creating in your life, the results you are creating. Right. And if you can, you know, if you can still already see that as just like objectively and like, okay, this is what's happening, then that's great. And that, you know, and there's not additional judgment on top of that, then that's great. Yeah. I mean, I think you may just, you know, you may just kind of have a way about you where you're not, where you don't do a lot of self judgment. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you up here?
Well, I had done a TDL on if everything does go right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot of, okay, mom's coming to live with me now. Here are the things that we're going to have to do to prepare the house. And here's what I will do when she's here. And I can have my own time and I can still do my own stuff. And, you know, and that was a whole like 3-page TDL.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically like all that stuff can go in there, right? In the
TDL,
where it's like, because, you know, the whole concept of right and wrong, right? I've been talking a lot about that today. It's just, I mean, right and wrong is totally subjective, right? I mean, you can just decide whatever happens. I mean, it was the right thing. I mean, heaven forbid she gets sick or something like that. It's like, well, good thing I'm here to take care of her, you know? Yeah. And that's right. You know, you can just decide that whatever happens is right and that there's nothing, you know, nothing has gone wrong.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So like when you think all that stuff you just said about, you know, like she, you know, she's going to come live with me, I'll still be able to do things. How do all those thoughts feel?
Relieving, feels like a load off my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much just relief, actually.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like you doing this model, this is a little bit more kind of advanced. It's almost like you doing kind of the new TDL is up in the C line now.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a totally different model here. But okay. Like you doing the TDL kind of puts you in, like you now have a thought about doing that TDL where it's like, oh my gosh, I don't have to feel crappy about my mom getting older. And that's where the relief is. That's where the feeling is.
It's not that I anticipate it happily, but I know that it can be done and not be a disruption. And
so when you think like it doesn't have to be a disruption, how do you feel? Other than like relief, like your depression and guilt, how are you feeling?
Besides relief, I would say happy. Determined.
Mm-hmm. It could be just like kind of curious.
Open. Yeah. Curious as to what things I can do to make everything go right. Yeah.
I mean, I love a thought like, I wonder what, you know, I wonder what might happen, or I wonder, you know, it like not, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? You know, that's not a good question. Right?
Right.
But if it's just like, okay, whatever happens, you know, let's maybe kind of figure out what might work best for her, you know, when might she move in with me? All those, you know, it's just like from a curiosity standpoint, from an openness to just all the possibilities.
Right. Yeah. So when I did the TDL afterwards, I did feel better because it was almost like I already made the arrangements.
Mm.
So that now it's okay. I got it all figured out. It's not going to be a disruption because it'll just be different, but it won't be a disruption.
No, it'll just be, I mean, and you don't even have to think that it's going to be, well, you can think it's going to be different, but you can just decide that different is okay, right?
Right.
Different is not disrupting. Different is not life altering or anything like that, right? It's just going to be.
Right. It's just going to be a change.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I can work around that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like you just kind of opened your mind up to, okay, whatever it is, you know, we can't predict anything, right?
Right.
But whatever it is, you can handle it. You'll figure it out.
Yeah. But, and again, that was through the TDL. Is it necessary for me to do models if I can do the TDLs around it, or?
It's just a matter of, like you said, you were kind of, you know, sometimes struggling with the A-line. And
right.
Of, you know, so I think it would be good. And so the way that you, I mean, I think it's good for everybody to, you know, to do models, to try models, and to just, it's a good practice and being okay with it not being, you know, perfect and exactly right. And that's where we come in with Ask Coaches. We have people post models all the time and we give them feedback, or you can get on here, just like here we can do it. But it's just a matter, well, what I was going to say was that you may, you know, kind of want to know how to start a model from a TDL. And I think that's a really good kind of thing to teach everybody on here.
I think I can get the intentional model because I can understand where I want the result to be from and work my way back up to all that. It's the unintentional model, the action line, because, I mean, I guess I just don't think about what I'm doing. If I'm not eating, which I don't overeat, well, I didn't, but I'm not to say that I haven't, but on this particular one, I didn't. So I couldn't figure out what my action was that I was doing, but I guess buffering and not feeling the feels is what my action was. Okay. I guess like every time I hear action, it's something that I'm physically doing, necessarily what's going on in my head.
Yeah. And it can also be like an inaction where you're just not doing anything. Yeah. So that can be in your A-line. Okay. So yeah, just think of, you know, am I buffering, like in the unintentional model, when you do those, think, you know, okay, am I allowing myself to feel these feelings? If not, I'm buffering in some way.
Okay.
And it, you know, it is, and it's all about like you're, and what you're doing could seem, you know, good at the time where it's like, well, instead of feeling these feelings, I'm going to go clean the house or I'm going to go run some errands or something like that. But if it is still not getting you the result that you want,
right,
then it's still buffering. And if you know, if you still need to be feeling your feelings instead of doing these things, so it's all about like actions that have ultimately negative consequences.
Okay.
So a negative
result. I think I do a lot of buffering when it comes to, like, if I'm not eating, I'm buffering. So, and it's rarely am I eating. So apparently I'm doing a lot of buffering.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times when we take the eating away, then we replace it with something else, shopping. I did that definitely when I lost weight. I started to buffer with shopping, online shopping or going shopping or whatever. You know, it's things that you're like, well, but I'm not eating. You know, I'm not going to gain weight doing this. But it's still, you're
still
taking
buffering.
Time away. You're spending money. It's all this net. It's called a net negative. Like, even if it's something
a net negative. I like that.
Yeah. It's like, even if it's something that is even kind of productive in the moment or something, if you're not like cleaning the house, say, then but still, if you're supposed to be doing something else during that time, you know, like feeling your feelings and stuff, then there's still a net negative.
Right. Because the objective is to feel the feels, not ignore the feels.
Okay. Not numb them or cover them up with other things, or you know, ignore them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So. All right. Well, I have several models to work on. Corinne told me to model every feeling I was feeling and every thought that I had, which was a lot of them. So
yeah, so you got to work that out for you. But yeah,
yes,
if you ever get stuck, Ask Coaches is there for sure. So or get on one of these calls. I love to do models. I'm like a model geek. So
that's why I got on, because you were talking about it. I'm like, well, she's the one I need to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Trish. Get Trish down. And then I will answer some questions and be done. See if we've got some questions here. Yes, Amy says, I went into major debt while losing my first time. Now I cook. So just kind of think about that, Amy. Just, you know, just for funsies, ask yourself, do you use cooking as a way to buffer sometimes? You know, not to beat yourself up, not to punish yourself, but just to stay kind of curious about it. I mean, I can say I probably do that sometimes. I love to look at recipes and, you know, looking at some recipes last night. You know, I like to do all that kind of stuff, but is that really how I should be spending my time or I want to be spending my time? It's just something for me to stay curious about. Let's see. Trish is glad that Gail is glad that Trish called back. I've been playing with politics Wednesday. The same issue you do. Thought, caring for your mom will disrupt your life. But mine too, because it is a disruption. Well, it is a disruption, is your thought. Right, Gail? You know that, right? That's not a fact. It is a disruption, is your thought. But I think maybe you're thinking because it is a, well, I don't know what you're thinking, Gail. So let me know. Yes, the result always proves the thought true. So if y'all ever get like stuck with the result line or just get stuck with any part of the model, just put it in Ask Coaches. Oh my gosh, we love that. Okay. Okay, let me look at these questions here. Oh yeah, SCS is Self-Coaching Scholars, which is the program that is part of, okay, Gail, gotcha. That was Trisha's thought. Self-Coaching Scholars is a program through the Life Coach School that Brooke Castillo runs, and that it's a membership program that she runs. So some folks in the tribe are, some of them have heard about PNP through Self-Coaching Scholars, or they're in both. And then y'all know about like the Life Coach School podcast, which is totally free, but the Self-Coaching Scholars is the paid membership that they have. Regina, my parents are in low carb and talked me into it. I have done okay, but don't think the diet is for me because it isn't something I can do for life. I want to go back to my 2-2, but sitting here at 51, having to wrestle disappointing my parents because this seems like the only way to them. I don't want to appear a failure. Okay. Regina, you got a big old story that your parents, that you, have the power to disappoint your parents, that your parents have the power to talk you into something. That, and that you can appear a failure, you know, you can make them like, you know, make you be a failure to them. So here's the deal. You have thoughts and feelings and your parents have thoughts and feelings and they are not dependent on one another. So your parents didn't talk you into doing low carb. You made the choice to do low carb because you had a thought about it. So maybe your parents, thinking about the model, right? Maybe your parents said, hey, you should do low carb. And you had a thought like, oh, I should do what they say because I want to please them. And I don't want to disappoint them, even though we can't disappoint anybody. And I'll talk about that in a second. But that was your thought. And so maybe you felt obligated, you felt pressured, or whatever it was, and then you decide to do low carb. But it wasn't because your parents talked you into it. They don't have that power. You're a grown-ass woman, and you make your own choices. So you're 51. So, and yes, your parents, you cannot disappoint your parents. Oh, my gosh, that was like, when I learned that, that was a biggie for me. Because I like to say I'm a recovering perfectionist and I'm a recovering people pleaser. If your parents feel disappointed, it's because of thoughts that they are having. Disappointed is a feeling. They may be thinking, I wish Regina would make a different choice. I wish Regina would do something different. But that's their choice on how they think. You can do whatever you want. And if you think you're a failure, that's because you think you're a failure. They can think you're a failure too, but that's up to them. That's on them. But you can't make them think or feel anything. You don't have that power. and they don't have that power over you. And for me, when I realized that, that was very freeing. Just very freeing for me. So when we write our models, we can have intentional and unintentional ones written and then try to rework it. Yeah, I mean, you can, a lot of people start with, you know, something that isn't getting the result that they want, that isn't working for them, and so it's unintentional. And then you have an intentional model that you want to eventually move into. And so, but sometimes you're only in the unintentional right now and you're not really sure how to move forward. But then a lot of times, and this is something I highly recommend for everybody, is that you do intentional models. You focus on stuff that is working for you, that is giving you the result you want. I think you should do a model where I think you should do as many models as you can come up with where the result line is lose weight. And the action line is four basics. That means that you're coming up with as many thoughts as you can that lead you to a feeling that causes you to do the four basics and lose weight. So see if you can come up with a million different models where the result is lose weight. Okay. Sherilyn. Do you find that some people need to avoid restaurant food when they were losing the last 10 pounds? No, because I am going to lose weight, including the last 10 pounds, I'm going to lose weight the way I'm going to live it, and that means I eat out at restaurants. You're trying to change the circumstance when it's your thoughts about restaurants and restaurant foods that is the problem here. I ate out 3 times in the last 2 weeks with a 1 to 2 pound gain each time. I don't mind just sitting with others at restaurants versus eating if that's what it takes. I've looked at the menu ahead of time, used the hunger scale, but I think that my body just doesn't like the sodium in restaurant food. I mean, maybe the sodium might be a little bit higher than you know, what you cook at home. But like I said, you know, and it's absolutely no big deal to sit with people at restaurants while they eat. But is that realistic for you for not just for the last 10 pounds, but for the rest of your life? Because I intend to live the rest of my life eating with other people at restaurants. So, yeah, like I said, the sodium might be a little high. So, you know, get some extra water in. And then be okay with having a 1 to 2 pound gain each week when you know that it's going to come off in a few days. I mean, that's where the issue is here, is what you make it mean when you have a 1 to 2 pound gain. You make that mean that you're an absolute failure and you quit? Well, then that's your problem. But it's all about losing weight the way you're going to live it, being totally realistic. And like I said, realistic for me is eating out sometimes with people and maybe gaining a pound or two. And then saying, okay, that's probably some sodium, or that's probably, or but here's the other thing. You got to be honest with yourself, right? Or is it just the sodium? Or are some little excuses sneaking in to eat a little bit more because you're at a restaurant, because you paid for it, because you want to get your money's worth, because you're having fun with your friends, and why not? Let's do it. We're out. We're having fun. It's a special occasion. It's somebody's birthday. That's where you got to like get real with yourself and really say, okay, am I really following my hunger scale? And if you are, great. Then it probably is just a little bit of sodium or something. But you can make eating at restaurants mean whatever you want. And for me, it's like, okay, I want to do this sometimes. And whatever the consequences are, I'll figure it out. But I'm not going to make a 1 to 2 pound gain mean I'm not ever going to eat at a restaurant again. I know that's for sure. Okay, last question. Can you actually plan an overeater and binge? Absolutely, you can. You put it on your plan. Okay, I have a couple of calls that y'all have got to watch because I listened to them this morning at the gym, and I'm going to put them in the in the notes. Oops, how did I get here? In the notes to this call. The first one is, what if binges don't go away? That's one of Corinne's, in Corinne's rants. It's the best of Corinne's rants. So if you go to video replays on pnptribe.com, you'll see Corinne's best of rants. And there's several new ones. There's one on compelling reason that is really good. There's one on being a failure at weight loss. There's one on what you need to do when you think you want to quit. Is the one, I think it's being a failure at weight loss, is the one where she talks about planning and overeat. I think it's the peanut butter one. This gal talked about sometimes she comes home and she just grabs a spoonful of peanut butter here and there and everywhere. And she ends up having like 10, 12 spoons of peanut butter in a day. And Corinne said, okay, I want you to put 12 spoons of peanut butter on your plan. And the woman went, what? I'm not gonna lose weight that way. But you're doing that anyway. So if y'all are having a lot of overeats, put it on the plan. And what that does is it takes the power away from it. When it's on the plan, written just right there in black and white, it's not this fun, little, sneaky, exciting thing that we do anymore. It's just part of the plan. So we've got to take the power away from overeats and binges and just have them as part of the plan. And yes, that if you follow your plan, you may not necessarily lose weight. But that's not the point of planning an overeat or a binge. It's taking the power away, having your own back, and just choosing to follow the plan rather than eating behind your own back. Yeah, being a failure at weight loss. Okay. So I'll make a note of that. And the other one is, what if binges didn't go away? But then also there's another call in the best of Corinne's rants on planning overeats. Let's see. Plan binge coaching. There's what if binges don't have to stop. But planning, and then there's one on planning overeats. So I'll just post all these. Yeah. And actually, the Plan Binges one was with Joy, who was just on here. So, yeah. All right, y'all. So, I will, like I said, I'll put those in the show notes. Anybody else have anything? I'm going to get out of here because it's 2:08. Okay. All right, y'all. So Corinne will be back. I think she's coming back from Dallas today. And she's been at a life coach school event. And she will be back coaching tomorrow at noon. So stay tuned for that. I'll actually be on that call too, listening. And then Kathy will be back at office hours on Tuesday night. We're going to have let me make sure in the calendar. We're going to have the Gift of Fat call on Monday. Yes, how to eat healthy, good, better, best bonus call. Love that. I get so many questions about good, better, best and like eating healthier, making healthier choices. So that'll be an awesome call to watch. And then on Tuesday night, Kathy's got office hours. So that's, and then Wednesday, noon. For him to be back coaching just like we always do. So, all right, guys, take care. Y'all have a great rest of your weekend. Let me make sure. Okay, one more question. I'm overwhelmed with everything. I'm having trouble getting started. I keep starting over again, ending up in a vicious circle. I overeat and want to quit. Not sure where to start again. Okay, here's the problem. You're thinking that you have to start again. As long as you don't quit, you're not starting again. You're just going. So quit saying that you got to get started again, that you keep starting over again, not sure where to start again. No. Here's the thing. You don't have to ever start again with PNP. You just have to keep going after you make a mistake, after you overeat. you overeat, you want to quit, and you say you're not going to, and you keep going. It's not starting over again. That's why you feel overwhelmed, because you think you have to start over again. People ask me, well, should I just start back at you know, module one of no BS? Not necessarily. I mean, you can if you want to, but that's not the answer. The answer is just to not quit and keep going. Make a plan tomorrow. Next best choice. That will get you into action and out of overwhelm. You cannot feel overwhelmed if you are in action. So Anonymous, if you haven't made a plan for the rest of today, if you haven't made a plan today, I want you to sit down and make a plan. Get into action and out of overwhelm and make a plan for the rest of the day. And if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know where you're going, right, I am going to drink my water, get my sleep tonight, and I'm going to eat 2 to 2, whatever I'm doing. Okay? And then just for you, I am going to post one last Corinne's rant. It is a classic. It is the very first one under rants. It's called Getting Started Instead of Getting Frustrated with Yourself. And I almost wish it didn't say getting started, because that's not what we're talking about here, right? It's just get into action is what it really means. So that is for you, anonymous attendee. Okay, guys, I'm for real going this time, because I could just stay here all day. All right, y'all, take care. Bye.